Father, we thank you for bringing us all together, for opening our hearts up, Father. Father, we thank you for filling us with victory in our lives, that we overcome in everything that we do, that we are healed from the tops of our heads to the bottoms of our feet. Father, that our loved ones are safe and healthy, and in that everything we do prospers in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for this lesson, for touching hearts, for filling us with victory, Father, that we can share our victory with others through these lessons in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about what is salvation, and then how do you get salvation, all right? So we're going to start by, you know, many people believe that if they believe in God, like they believe in the tooth fairy, they will go to heaven. But God says in Mark 7, in vain, fruitlessly, and without profit do they worship me, ordering and teaching to be obeyed as doctrine the commandments and precepts of men. See, so you have to watch out what you believe, because there's doctrines out there that are really all man-made. So as we go through this tonight, we're going to talk about some scriptures and stuff like that, and we're going to separate fantasy land from real.
Yeah, if you don't read the Bible yourself, you don't know if the people's teaching you the truth or not.
That's it.
So, I like to do scripture by scripture. Tell them where I am, and you look at it, you read it with me.
There it is. If it's not in the Word, it's not worth hearing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it ain't the Word, it ain't in my head.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of doctrines, even among Christians, or people at least claim to be Christians, They claim it's in the Word, and it's not.
A lot of them is doctrines of devils. If it's not doctrines of Jesus Christ, it's a doctrine of devil.
Yeah.
And that's what the verse is really doing.
Yeah. So in Mark 7, it says, in vain fruitlessness, without profit, do they worship me, ordering and teaching to be obeyed as doctrine the commandments and precepts of men. So all of these things are just, a bunch of this stuff is just fantasy land stuff. And yet they're teaching it that God said this and God said that, and he didn't say any of it. Okay, man-made doctrine is not what God is looking for. God wants you to follow his doctrine, and his doctrine says there is no salvation outside of Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Absolutely.
Pete, you want to read John 14:6?
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to the Father except by me and through me.
So the only way to God is through Christ.
That's a powerful statement.
That's plain, simple, there's no confusion. He says it straight up. No smoke and mirrors. Okay. Salvation is received through God giving grace because you believe by faith in Jesus Christ. So salvation comes because you believe that Christ is the Son of God. Okay? Donnie, Ephesians, right on here.
Yep.
Okay, Ephesians, how about you read 4, 5, and 6?
Okay. But God so rich is he in his mercy, because of an inorder to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love which is he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us very life of Christ himself, and the same new life which he quickened him, for it is by grace, by his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation.
One more.
One more, okay. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in heavenly spirit by virtue of our beginning in Christ Jesus, the Messiah and the Anointed One.
Okay. That's some good stuff there.
Yes, it is.
So we'll read back through it again, Ephesians 2:4, and it says, with God so rich is he in his mercy. Well, what's mercy? It's when God is being the living sacrifice for us, right? So in his mercy, see, he paid the price we could not pay, right? So in his mercy, he became the sacrifice that was perfect. See, in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices, but a lot of them weren't perfect. They should have been, but they weren't.
Well, he had mercy that you wouldn't be judged for.
That
he was judged for.
That's right.
We couldn't do it. And it says in Proverbs or Psalms that grace and mercy met together, truth and righteousness gets the judge. And that's all at the cross.
Say it again louder.
And mercy is new every day, the scripture says. His mercy is new every day in Psalms.
Wow.
Said, truth and mercy met together. Peace and mercy met together. Truth and righteousness kissed each other. And that met at the cross, that scripture.
Okay.
But the mercy of God was just like when we had mercy on our kids that did something. So I had mercy on them. Yeah. Okay. See, you took the blood of it. And that's what he did. Christ took the blood of it. But it's a, because man screws up so often, so many times, it's a, his mercy is new every morning. So whatever you did yesterday, you blew it. Don't worry, his mercy is new today. You repented, you're back in his graces.
Yep. Okay, so the word says, but God so rich is he in his mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. So out of God's love through Christ, there was mercy and Christ paid the price that we could not pay. Verse 5, and it says, and even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life which he quickened him. For it is by grace, by his favor and mercy, which we did not deserve, that you are saved and delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Wow. So when you get saved, all of that stuff that you've done is just washed away. It's just gone.
Well, there's a big thing in there, is that he gave us the very life of Christ himself.
Yep.
And the scripture says, and John, 1 John, as he was, we are. As Jesus Christ was, authority Jesus Christ said, he said, we had that same authority. We are sons of God. And Christ is at the right hand of the Father, the scripture says, making intercession for us now.
Yep.
And so Christ raised people from the dead, we can too. God, he healed people, we can too.
Yep.
And Christ said, when you stand praying, forgive, because if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, won't forgive you. Forgiveness is a big thing.
Yeah.
Don't say you had to like them. Don't say you had to tolerate them. Say forgive them and go on. If the other people don't forgive, that's on them.
Yeah.
But so when you stand praying, forgive, you got to keep that slate clean.
Sometimes not easy to do.
Oh, only sometimes?
Yeah. but it's
somebody makes you mad, it's not easy to do at all.
Yeah. But it's important to do it because it keeps you clean.
What
other people do, they pay for it.
Absolutely.
Right? What I do, I have to pay for it. Right? So when I sin, when I live in hate and stuff like that, that's sin, And I can't afford that. That's a price. Me going to hell is a price higher than what I can pay.
Yeah, that's above my pay scale.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, verse 6.
Well, wait, I want to say something else about that forgiveness. That's when you forgive, the more you forgive, the easier it is to walk in it. And then you can just say, like Jesus said, they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. So just leave that on that ignorant person. They want to be ignorant, just forgive them and go on. You don't have to go to their house for supper.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to the movies with them or shop with them.
Associate.
Yeah, just get away from them.
That's what I've done.
Absolutely. And it works, doesn't it?
Just keep on rolling.
Well, when Jesus told Peter, and Peter said, how many times to forgive? He said, you forgive 70 times 7.
Yeah.
490 times per person, per sin, per as often as you have to.
Yeah.
Well, when you do that, you just walk in forgiveness. And they lie and you say, dude, that's on you. I'm going on. I'm not judging you for it. I'm going on. You best repent, though, or you're going to get judged for it.
That's right. I'm glad I don't have to pay for the sins of everybody, but Christ did that for us.
He done that so we don't have to.
That's right. Couldn't even pay it for ourselves.
That's right. That's right.
There wasn't a sacrifice good enough that we could pay it for ourselves.
That's right. Verse 6 says, and he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by the virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. See, he lives in us, so that gives us the right to be seated with Christ.
When you just say, I've got to tell you this story.
Right.
I just read Kent Copeland magazine.
Right.
And Creflo Dollar, I read an article in there.
Right.
A year or two ago, he went to the doctor to get his annual physical.
Yeah.
Doctor said, you got prostate cancer.
Uh-oh.
Said, you can go get another opinion. It's up to you. He said, but it's going to be the same thing. So he said, I'm just going to trust God. God, you tell me what to do, and that's what I'm going to do. So he had a friend that's a specialist, and he went to him. And remember, I'm saying this because what Phil said, that he lives in you. He went to him, and when he went to that specialist, the specialist said, well, I'm going to give you an MRI. Gave him an MRI. The guy that was on the MRI said, oh, man, this is bad. He said, the cancer is out of the prostate. It's on his spinal cord.
Uh-oh.
So this is really bad. So this specialist is sitting in the other room, and he's got it all on the big screen. And so he says, I'm going to blow this up on this big screen to show you what they found, what they seen. And he said, now, he's been believing God, and he said he had to learn to rest in God, trust God's word. And he said, when he rested in God, God told him what to do, and he followed all the instructions. And he said, there was three things they told you to do, and I don't want to tell you wrong, so I just read it again. I had to read these things two, three times sometimes to get them in me like I want to know.
Okay.
And this is he first said there are two types of prayers God will never answer. God will never answer a prayer to do something that he's already done. Can't answer a prayer to go back to the cross. It's already done that. So he said, he will never answer a prayer about a situation that he has already given us instructions on how to handle. He's already told you how to handle it. So just don't go back and pray, oh God, do this or show me that. And so he said, there was four or five revelations God gave me. He said, first, God's grace makes, faith takes. He said, grace has already been there. The third revelation, God has your back. The glory of God is coming back. And he wanted to say this. As clear as the day, I heard the Spirit of God speak to my spirit and say, Didn't I tell you there's a man living on the inside of you, and I got your back? And I want to tell you why he said that. When he was there, and the MRI in the big office where Doc brought up on the screen, this guy,
Creflo
Dollar, is real neat, appearance all the time, dressed neat and everything.
Yeah, I see him.
And he says, the guy was doing this MRI in the image, and he said, he go, huh? And the son was there waiting, and Doc, huh? Doctor said, there's no cancer there at all. The other guy just said, did the MRI, said it. He was waiting to be healed. Yeah. And doing everything God told him, and from going to that room to that room, there was no cancer, and it was on the MRI that he was loaded with cancer in this room. Mm-hmm. Went to that room, put it on the big screen, and then the doctor said, who's that man in there? Who's that man in that picture with a beard? Yeah. And there wasn't nobody with him. And he said, the Lord said, he said, I am in you.
Yeah.
I'd be with you because I always, because I'm in you. And that's what you was just saying. And that's why
we say that place when he said he lives in us.
Amen.
And he said, the doctor said, and you get the doctor's name, address, and everything. He said, the doctor said, who is that man with the beard?
Yeah, I
wonder. Yeah. So there's no cancer at all. None at all. Just walking from that room to that room. Hmm. Off the spinal cord and out of the
prostate.
He said he knew from the beginning. He said, I'm not getting operated on.
Yeah.
And he says, right after that, he said, I didn't tell Taffy. That's his wife's name. He said, I didn't tell her right at first because I didn't feel to. I had to see what the Lord was going to tell me. Yeah. He said, and I got home, he said, this guy calls me, he's a friend of mine that's a director. He says, I want you to play in this movie with me. I want you in this movie. And he said, I thought, nah, I don't want to be in no movie. I just got a bad report and all that. I got to work through this first. And he said, it'll really make you laugh. He said, it's a movie about an undertaker. He said, man, he just said I got prostate cancer bad. You want me in a movie about an undertaker? He said, I went in there. He said, the Lord spoke to him. He said, you do that part. He went in there. He said, he never laughed so hard in all his life. And he said, that was the beginning of him learning to rest in the Lord. Give it to the Lord and leave it alone.
Yep.
He said, I never thought about it again. He said, I just did what the Lord asked the Lord for instructions in. But when he said, you said about Christ lives in us, hope and glory, and that guy said, who's the man with the beard? That's the power of God in you, buddy.
There he is, right there, man. Okay. Earl.
Seven.
Can you read 7, 8, 9?
Yeah.
All right.
He did this. I'm a little raspy, but.
Well, you want me to read it?
No. I'll do it.
He should read the rest of it because he's been skipping out on us for 6 weeks.
He's been slacking. I know he has.
He did this. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come. Immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor and gift, kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace God's and then in flavor that you are saved through your faith, and that the salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own struggling, but in the gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the Lord's demand, lest any man should boast. It's not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take the glory to himself.
Wow, that's powerful stuff there.
Yes, it is.
All right, so verse 7, it says, that he did this that he might, the he that we're talking about here is Jesus, okay? So Jesus did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surprising riches.
Surpassing
riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor. In kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. So all of this stuff, all of this victory that he's giving us, the gifts of healing and all of that stuff, all of that comes from Christ into us, just unmerited favor. We didn't do anything for it. He just given that to us. Okay? In verse 8, it says that, "For it is by grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved through your faith, and this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God." All you have to do is receive it.
Yeah. And wow. Salvation isn't just getting saved.
No, there's a lot more to it.
Salvation means you're saved, means you're healed, means you're prosperous.
Yep.
You know, it means you're very beneficial in the community and everything like that. It means the grace of God favors you in every aspect of a Christian life.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of good stuff. And verse 9, it says that not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law, not the fulfillment of the law's demand, lest any man should boast. In other words, you can't, because you didn't have anything in this, you can't boast about you doing anything, because this is all coming directly from Christ. And to continue in verse 8, it says that it is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself.
Bro, if that's too much air on you, tell me.
Not fine.
Okay. So, we're on the second page now, and it says, "And God is only interested in what you do and believe out of the fullness of your heart. What you think you believe with your mind is meaningless to God. Heart faith is the only thing that counts." So what's in your heart? Christ is in your heart, right? The Word says the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are in your heart. They don't believe anything bad for you or anybody else as far as that goes. The devil is the only one bringing bad stuff.
You are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's
the Father and the Son make his abode in you.
Even
if he has a beard, and that guy's seen it on his MRI.
Yep.
Boy, I had to read that again. And I read it. I read that whole thing yesterday, and I read it again today. And I'm going to read it again.
It's good.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you, another time he went to the Lord, he said his tailbone was always hurt. Couldn't sit down on a hard chair or nothing. He said, "Lord, I need you to heal my tailbone." He said, "I did," or to that effect. And he says, "My tailbone's hurting." He says, "I'm not doing anything about it. I can't do nothing about it. I did all I can do for you about that." He said, "I gave you the authority over it. You speak to it. And you tell it to get out, the pain." And he said, "You know, the light come on," and he spoke to it, told the pain to get out of there. By the authority that he had in Jesus Christ, that pain get out of there. He said, "You know, in 15 seconds, I went and sat on a hard chair." He said, "Then I sat on the floor to prove it." He said, "It never has hurt me again." He said, "You've got to understand and learn the authority that you have." This was a couple of years ago, he said it was. I remember that part now. He said that he learned a lot in that. So he commanded to go.
He's gone.
Yep.
But you have to, this is not hot, the head knowledge. This is not,
it's all heart.
It's all heart. So if you're just with your mind thinking, okay, I'm going to say I'm healed. But see, that's all coming out of your head. It's just stuff you're doing, you see? What he's talking about is God's already done it, paid for it, went to the cross.
It's got to come out of your heart.
It's got to come out of your heart.
Yeah.
Right?
There's too many people speaks out of their head.
That's right.
You got to come out of your heart.
And you got to speak from the heart.
There you are.
Absolutely.
Okay, Pete, you want to do verse Romans 8:9?
Yes. But you are not living the life of the flesh, you are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God.
Okay, so this is pretty important here, guys. It says, Romans 8, 9, it says, but you are not living the life of the flesh. In other words, see, the whole world operates in the flesh. What they see, hear, do, right, that's all flesh. But see, you're living out of your heart because Christ is living in your heart. And because you live in your heart, you're not living in the flesh, you're living in the Spirit. So to continue on, it says, you are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, only people who possess the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost living in them, only those people are the saved people. Right? Everybody else is living in the flesh. They are not saved. He is none of his. He does not belong to Christ and is not truly a child of God. That's what it says in Romans 8 and 9.
Power
right there. So he's dividing up the world. It's not accurate to say he's dividing up the world. The world is dividing itself up.
Yeah, he's dividing the population.
Yeah. The because of the rules of God, you have to make a choice whether you're going to follow God or not. If you don't, you automatically go to hell when you die.
And you automatically send yourself there.
And you, that's
God
right.
Don't do it.
You send yourself there. This is a decision you have to make for Christ, a meaningful, proper decision. In your heart, you have to say, Father, I want you in me. Right? I give my heart to you. Right? This is absolutely critical. If you don't invite Christ into your life, then you are operating in the flesh just like the rest of the world is. Okay?
Separated from the sheep and the goats.
That's yep, it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay. Donnie, Romans 10. How about 8, 9, and 10?
Okay. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips, and in your heart. That is the word. The message of faith we preach, because it's your knowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is the Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust, and rely on the truth, that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For with your heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified. Declare righteousness acceptable to God, and which the mouth he confesses declares openly, and speak out freely his faith and confirm his salvation.
Okay, so Romans 10 verse 8, it says, but what does it say? What does what say?
The word.
Okay, so what does the word say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message of faith, which we preach. So what he's saying is, we have preached this to you, what you need to do. So now you have to act on it. You have to make a decision. It says, verse 9, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to and trust in and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And verse 10, it says, for with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified or declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. So, with you receive God into your heart, but you say it with your mouth, right? You're making a confession.
Your whole life, your lifestyle speaks.
Speaks, that's right.
Yeah, if somebody sees you out in a pepper patch eating hot peppers, you don't have to confess with your mouth that you eat hot peppers. Everybody's already seen it. They already know you eat hot peppers. You don't have to tell them. And what I'm saying, your Christ in you, the hope of glory, shines through you and he directs your life. Then people will hear your conversations, knowing that you're talking righteous before God, before other people. People will see how you conduct yourself, how you project yourself, and your total life is built around Christ. But as far as what they're saying, I'll give you an example. What you know what the Baptists say, you get up front in church and say, I confess Jesus Christ is Lord. It's okay, you're saved. That's after they went to the altar and they helped them cry it out. Mm-hmm. They were saved when they got out of their seat to go to the altar, most of them. They was under conviction and they said, I want you, Jesus. But they thought they had to go up there to get him. He was sitting right at the seat right with them.
Yep.
They were already saved.
Yep. I'm a witness to that.
Yeah. You see some of these ministers saying, I heard a guy say one time, said, okay, so everybody close your eyes. They all close their eyes and pray. I said, now, all of you that want to find Jesus, raise your hand. So he said, David's all had their eyes closed and praying. He said, raise his hand. He said, okay, all you come to the altar. He says, raising your hand and praying wasn't the hard part. The hard part was finding the order with your eyes closed. that was the big, especially if you're sitting in the middle of the church, I guess. But you see, they were already saved.
Yes.
They went up there to help compliment that man's doctrine.
Yeah.
As what they did. The way people talk and act around you, you can tell. I told a black woman one time down to the sale, I was waiting on her to sell her some of Pee Wee's plants, and Pee Wee was busy as she could be. And I looked at her, and I could feel Christ in her. Yeah. I said, woman, I said, I perceive you're a good Christian lady. Mm-hmm. I said, I can feel it. And I gave her plants, took her money, gave her plants, and gave it to Pee Wee, and I went, and I left. It was time for me to leave, go home. I had her all set up. And so she told Pee Wee, she says, you know what that man said to me? She said, you mean my husband? She says, that's your husband? She said, you know what? Said, he could tell I was a Christian. He could feel it. I said, absolutely right. You get vibes from people.
You do.
The other way, so you get them from the vibes from Christ.
And you can tell when they're not, too.
Yeah.
Very easy.
Did you see Christ through them?
The hope of glory. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, you know, a lot of what you were just saying really happened to me. Because when I got saved, I had a friend of mine who kept nagging me to go to church.
Sure did.
You know, and he kept nagging me, kept coming back. It got so bad, I told him to leave his Bible in the car. You know, I mean, if he wanted to come in, he could come in, but leave his Bible in the car because I had enough listening to it. So he finally nagged me so much that I agreed to go to church with him one time.
If he'd leave me alone.
If he'd just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I'll go to church one time. And we're sitting there in the church, itty bitty little church about as big as a 2-car garage, man. I ain't kidding. It was a little church.
It's still there?
Yeah, it's still there. I think they're using it for storage now, but the building itself is still there. And anyhow, when it got to the end and the pastor gave the altar call, there was only about 10 people in the whole building. And I could honestly feel my arm going up and down. You know, yeah. God would say, raise your hand, and my hand would start going up, and the devil would speak to me and say, put your hand down, and I could feel it pushed down, right? And my hand must have went up and down 2 or 3 times, right, before it finally went all the way up. But I think I was saved right there.
You
before
were.
Before I ever you went were. To the altar, I'm sure I was saved.
You are.
You know.
You know, Christ never said, okay, you gotta go to the altar first. the thief on the cross would never have made it that he forgave, would he?
Yeah.
But they really don't understand that, because the Bible says confess it with your mouth.
Yeah.
Well, we all confess it with our mouth. Yes. People know we're saved because we confess it with our mouth. Yeah. When you're born again, you're a new person in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So your talk starts to show it.
Yeah. My life showed it because I went to the altar.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah.
When you're a walking testimony, people know it. If the Lord puts on your heart to give somebody a bag of groceries, it shows them other people. You don't have to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I got saved. I went up front after I prayed. I went up front and I said, Jesus is my Lord. So now I'm saved. So now that I'm bringing you the groceries. You don't have to say that. They know. Mm-hmm. They know by your action.
Yeah.
You don't have to blow your own horn.
No.
By your fruits, you and me know.
Absolutely, that's right.
There you go. Okay, so after verse 10 here, it says, and what does it mean to be saved? It means that in your heart you know that you know that you know that Christ is alive and living in you, but that all starts with believing and confessing that Christ is real and inviting him into your life. So please pray with me now. Confess Christ with your mouth. And so I want people, if you listen, I want you to pray along with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins and forgive all those who have sinned against me. Father, I open my heart and invite Jesus into my life and turn my life over to him in love. Fill me with your Spirit. Lead and guide me in the path that you would have me to take, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay.
See, when it said, please pray with me, confessing Christ with your mouth, when you're praying and saying, Father, forgive me, I want to be one of yours, that's confessing Christ with your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, when you're at the altar, you already done all that they say, get up now and say this in front of the congregation, and you're saved, you're one of us. Dude, who do you think I was one of when I was praying and saying, Father, forgive me, for I want to be saved. I want you to forgive my sins, and I trust in you, and I believe your word now. Once you repent, you're saved.
You're saved, that's it. Okay, so the closing statement is, for those of you who have really prayed this prayer with your heart, Christ says you are a new creature.
That's the thing.
You're all new inside. God has washed away the old. You're all new. You start over again right now. All of your old sins are wiped away. All things are new in Christ. Congratulations. Now you need to start thanking God for showing you a good church to go to. So be receptive to the leading in your heart, not your mind, and go to church and remember, Jesus loves you.
That's right.
Amen.
There it is.
I want to read you that part about where he said about the man.
All right.
That's pretty good, Phil.
Sure. I'm glad you like it.
This is the third revelation that guy gave.
Yep.
Dr. Owen, that says, guy that has your back. I went to see a doctor friend of mine in Chattanooga, Tennessee, who was a specialist. He scheduled an MRI for me. While I was in the MRI machine, I overheard the technician say, oh dear God, it looks like this man has got cancer on his spinal cord. My friend, the specialist, was sitting in a remote lab with a big screen and other equipment. When I left the MRI, he called me into the lab where he began pulling up my images. He said, with the intensity and aggressiveness that they reported about you, the screen should light up. It enlarged the image and moved it up and down and all around. Nothing appeared. No cancer, no prostate, no cancer of the prostate, no cancer of the spinal cord. Nothing. Zilch. My son was in the room with me, so I am a witness to what I'm sharing. The specialist paused the screen at one point stopped the screen, and there on the screen appeared the image of a bearded man. My son said, "Dad, do you see that?" That guy right there, the specialist, asked, pointing to the screen, as clear as day, I heard the Spirit of God speak to my spirit and say, "Didn't I tell you there's a man living on the inside of you, and I got your back?"
There you go.
The doctor had the big screen up and said,
"Wow,
who's he?
Who's that man with the beard?"
Got a clue, dude.
Yeah, we were taking your prostate and your spinal cord. How did we get a whole picture? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's great.
Well, that'll make a believer out of me.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Oh, make that doctor. Yeah, doctor sees a lot of miracles. They see a lot of Earl's a miracle.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's done good.